This is Garden City Community College Bronkbusters Coaches Show, a chance to visit with Bronkbusters coaches and athletes live from Old Chicago in Garden City. Here's your host, the voice of the Bronkbusters, Cal Friedman.
Welcome back to Old Chicago here on the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. Final show of the 2023 year. We'll have a couple crossovers with high school and college basketball. And then we got Thanksgiving next week. So this will be the last show that we have before 2024. We've been talking to football all season long. We will finish out football after they finish out their season against Coffeyville. We'll hear from linebacker Jairus Goodman later on in the show. But basketball season is now fully underway. We will hear from women's basketball coaches Greg Franklin and Raven Northcross Baker in a moment. But we'd like to open up today's show with Coach Rusty Elmore, the men's basketball team. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Yeah, of course. I want to start a little bit off topic. First thing that I noticed when we got on the bus the other day at Frank Phillips is I heard a message of your two daughters cheering on the team after the game, and you've actually brought your whole family here tonight. So can you talk a little bit about family and life off the court?
Yeah, you know, this life is really hectic, you know, and I work a lot of hours a week and not home a lot, and so I try to include them in a lot of things that we do. You know, I couldn't do all this without my wife, and you know, I like my girls and love having them around. They love our guys. They look up to them. You know, they have their favorites every year. This year it's Bowl and Charles, but you know, it's just kind of a way to get them involved in my team, you know, because my team's so important to me, and it's the same with them. And I think it's good for my guys to see me with my kids, and you know, hey, he's not just a jerk. He's got family of his own and normal and you know, but you know, I love having him around, and that's why you see him a lot.
Can it be tough to be away for so long during basketball season?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, luckily at this level we don't travel for multiple, you know, when I was at the Division II level, I mean, we'd leave on a Wednesday and wouldn't get back till Sunday morning. You know, it's, you know, we don't have to do that, a lot of that at this level, but you know, there's long trips and getting home at 1-2 in the morning. I miss some events, you know, it's just, it comes with the territory, you know. You try not to feel guilty, but you do. But yeah, they get it. This is how dad pays the bills, and you know, we've had to move a lot over the years, but they get it. And you know, they live and die just like dad does.
Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving's next week. What's cooking at the Elmore household next week?
Yeah, we'll have the guys over. You know, we're traditionalists, the turkey dressing, ham, mac and cheese, green beans. We're traditionalists. But you know, we're excited to have them over, and it's just time to get together and not worry about how we're going to stop the next team. You know, just it stinks we're all away from our families, and we try to create, you know, that void a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Your personal favorite of the Thanksgiving plate?
I'm a dressing guy.
Okay.
My mom and grandmother made it incredible. My wife's trying. Don't let her hear me over there. But, you know, I don't know, with the gravy on top, it was always one of my favorites as a kid.
Yeah, stuffing and gravy is my favorite. All right, so let's get into the team now. Got off to a bit of a rocky start, but last two have been really nice wins. 41-point victory followed up by a 30-point win. Overall thoughts of the first five games?
Yeah, we're kind of bipolar. We're just flat on it. You know, we look pretty good against McCook, and then laid two eggs with Lamar and Otero, and then, you know, didn't really look good the first half against Sterling. And then about the second half, I thought we kind of clicked, and then really we're clicking when we went to Texas on Tuesday. You know, I hope last week got our guys' attention. Like, hey, I mean, I've been on it since August. Hey, there's a certain way you have to play to win at this level, and we didn't do it, and I thought we did it on Tuesday. You know, I hopefully – we can have some carryover, you know, with Kobe on Saturday. Just, you know, ball movement, how hard we played defensively. I mean, I think we went through some stretches. We didn't give up maybe, you know, I think 8 minutes they'd scored 5 points. You know, you're going to win a lot of games if you can do that.
When you talk about, you know, last week being kind of an eye-opener when you lost those back-to-backs against Lamar and Otero, how did you notice the team respond mentally?
You know, I think they saw how I responded. I made life pretty miserable for them. I mean, you know, we our big thing is that we don't accept losing around here. And, you know, we went right back to work. We took off the day before the Sterling game, and then we played Sterling on Thursday, and then we went for 4 hours every day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, you know, I thought it was good for our guys. I think it brought them closer together. I mean, they were mentioning it in before in the pregame in the locker room. And, you know, we cleaned some things up but, you know, you just hope there's consistency with it. That's the big thing, is hopefully that, okay, the things that we're doing for 4 hours, this has some carryover into the game. And we got some conditioning out of it, too. I mean, we're, you know, we don't play a lot of guys right now. Hopefully that continues from Tuesday.
I know it's only 5 games into the season, but you're talking about guys stepping up in the locker room, being voices. Who have been some of those guys who have been early leaders?
Definitely Brody. Brody Thomas. They're kind of the backbones. You know, Boston is, too, but it's kind of, you know, he's been out, not around a lot. He's doing his rehab. And then, now that Charles is eligible, he's kind of taking over that role. You know, 6'9", 250, he starts talking, he gets guys' attention. And plus he plays and works so hard that he's earned that respect. Those are the guys that kind of lead our locker room.
Let's talk about Charles for a second, because obviously he wasn't able to play the first 4 games due to eligibility. Makes his debut, 6.6 rebounds, 2 blocks. But I said it all throughout the broadcast, the stat sheet does not show how well he played. Can you talk about the impact that he gave?
Yeah, well, he gives us a presence inside. The guy that we can throw the ball to. I mean, I was, you know, granted he scored 6 points, but I was screaming, get it in there too. We ran a bunch of stuff to get it to him. We didn't do a very good job. He should have had about 20 that night. But his presence on the defensive end, you know, that block he had, he literally came out of nowhere. You know, we don't have that. You know, he gives us a presence, and, you know, their post player was averaging 13, 14 a game. I think he had 0 that night. I mean, he couldn't do anything with Charles. He's just a presence around the basket and on both ends of the floor. And he plays so hard and mean, and, you know, he's just a guy that, I think our win total will go up tremendously now that we have him.
He's out with the block, but he also had that slam dunk right at the end.
Yeah, and his first back bucket as a Buster was a dunk.
Yeah.
So
I thought the one at the end of the half where Thomas saved it, got it to him, just sucked the energy out of that crowd.
It did, because they were kind of making a little run back, and I thought, you're right, it did. It kind of gave us some momentum because, you know, we've been on the opposite end of that for, I think, too many times this year where the half we've gone in where they've sucked the air out of us, but. That was a huge play, and I thought it carried over into the second half.
I actually wanted to ask that exact same question. How big was that end of the half as a team for you guys? You'd struggled in the last couple of minutes of half.
Yeah, we did. We did, and, you know, that, like I said, that's been a big focus because McCook, Lamar, Otero, we've given up baskets at the end of the half, and it happened 3 or 4 times in the preseason as well. That, you know, we give up buckets and they're just killers, the killers. And you lose all momentum. Luckily we came out ahead on that one.
One thing you talked to me about on Tuesday after that win was your team's ability to hit some three-pointers in the second half. Can you talk about where this team has come shooting the basketball from preseason to now?
Yeah. I always knew we were a team that could really fill it up. We just hadn't shown it. And, I mean, Braxton Jones, Brody Robinson, Jordan Frazier, Cooper, Boston, those guys work so hard in the gym shooting. And I see them in practice, and, you know, I was kind of lost while we were shooting it so bad. But, I think we're starting to kind of get into it. And the biggest thing, I think, is our offense. We're not taking the first shot. We're not quick shooting it. You know, we're kind of getting it moving. And I think that's a big reason why Braxton didn't miss a shot in the second half. I mean, every shot was a really good shot, and we were – that's our big saying. We want to give up a good one for a great one. And I thought we did that. And that's why our shooting totals were so much better.
I wanted to ask that because I'm assuming you've seen Space Jam, right? The original?
If I have, I can't remember much of it.
Okay, got it. For the people listening who have seen it, MJ's secret sauce was something they used at halftime. It was just his sweat, but they pretended it was something big. And then they came out of the gates in the second half and just blew them out. Braxton Jones in the last 2 second halves is 12 of 14.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
what does he do with the locker room? Like, how does he get so hot out of the break?
Well, I'd like for him to do it both halves. I'd like to see, you know, those numbers would really be impressive. But, that's the big thing is, you know, he's one of those, he sees one goes in, he's probably going to make the next 4 or 5. We probably need to do a better job of getting into a lot more open looks and running some more things for him. We've put some things in for him. Hopefully, you know, kind of how we go. So
I know you mentioned to me that one thing you needed for Braxton was to be able to fill in and run the point guard to make sure you don't play Brody Robinson 40 minutes a game. How do you feel he's progressing at the one so far?
You know, he was really, really good the first game. You know, he kind of struggled against Otero and Lamar. And a lot of it's probably my fault. We probably put too much on his shoulders. And then, you know, the other night he had 16, almost was it 9 assists. I mean, 2 turnovers. He plays that way, we're going to win. You know, the 8 turnovers against Lamar, 9 turnovers against Lamar, we just can't have it. I mean, those are 9 wasted possessions. And he was just probably trying to do too much. And but he's really good when he's going, man. And, you know, we got to figure out ways to get him and Braxton going, because kind of how they go is how we go.
You're really quick to take accountability. That's one thing that I've noticed talking to you a couple of times. Where does that come from with you?
I don't know. Maybe I'm a coach's son. I don't know. I mean, it's at the end of the day, you know, players win games, coaches lose them. I mean, it's just kind of how it is. And, you know, I think I kind of have to be that way to – if I settle or it's not my fault, then I'm probably not working hard enough. You know what I mean? It just kind of keeps me on edge.
That's how you got into coaching? Your dad was coach?
Yeah, for about 40 years. He coached at the high school and junior college level, and he watches every game and watches every other team in our league, and he probably knows more about JUCO basketball than anybody in the country.
Got it. What were some of the big lessons that you learned from him?
I mean, one, just the character of my dad. I mean, the way he treated his guys and loved them, and then on top of it, he just had a passion for the game. I mean, he loved it and still does. And, you know, he's kind of living vicariously through me now. And, you know, he's my hero. I mean, I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for him.
That's awesome. That's really cool. My dad, I'm not doing the same profession as my dad. My dad's a real estate.
I mean, my dad tried to get me, you know, I worked in the TV business for about 7 or 8 years. He didn't talk to me for a little while when I decided just what I wanted to do. But, you know, he came around, and like I said, he literally watches every second, watches every practice. And, you know, he texts me because he's watching every other team play in our league.
One of the guys that you had talked to me about before was Isaiah Dixon. You said that with his mentality, at one point you wish you had 5 Isaiahs out there at one point. Talk to me about his drive off the court.
Yeah, you're talking about a gym rat now. I mean, he's in there 4 or 5 hours a day. Unbelievable nice kid. Just special, special young man, high academic. You know, he was a kid that we called recruiting, actually a Division I had put us on him, and he didn't think he was going to play basketball. He just thought he was going to go to school and that was going to be it. And we were like, well, you can come here and get a full scholarship. All of a sudden, okay, let's talk. But we're really glad he's here now. He's coming. You know, the stat sheet doesn't – it's kind of like we were talking about with Charles Earl. The stat sheet doesn't show it quite yet, but it's coming. I mean, he's had some moments, flashes, where you can say he's going to be really, really good.
How much does he have to learn from someone like Charles, like Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, Bowl and Isaiah practicing against Charles every day is just going to make him better. I mean, you know – you're only going to get better because, I mean, Charles is coming at you every second. And if you don't now, he's going to expose you. And it's only going to, you know, I think you're going to see some fruits of that here soon.
Now, you spent plenty of time in this conference. And one thing that I remember standing out when we first talked is how different each team is in the Jayhawk. What is something that constantly stands out about the best teams in this conference?
Usually they all have really good guards. Usually they got 3 or 4 of them. And then, you know, they at least have a presence inside, depth. You know, Dodge City, he ran away with our league last year. I mean, the 3 guards they had could flat fill it up. I mean, you didn't know where to turn because they just couldn't – you didn't know where to stop. But, you know, it's kind of been a different year. You know, we won the league my first year at Colby. We were up very point guard dominant. He touched the ball, had the ball most of the time, and then – the year after that, Coffeyville, when they won the national championship the year after, I mean, they had 10 guys, and their second 5 was as good as their first 5, you know, really big, thick, you know, kind of last couple years with Dodge. The Dodge has won the last 2 years. They, you know, their guards have just been incredible. Both of them are at the Division I level, still being incredible.
First 5 conference games for you guys, you get 2 at home, 3 on the road, if I've got it right. Yep. Colby this weekend, then you go to Independence next week, and then Pratt at home the weekend after. Let's start with those first 3. How do you feel like you match up against those 3 teams right now?
Who knows? I mean, Colby's way better than they were last year. They've upgraded tremendously. Their guards are really good. You know, Indy, I honestly haven't seen 1 second of them, so it's hard to say. And then Pratt, I've seen a couple times. they've got a lot of New York City guys, and they are really, really talented and kind of play that loose New York City type ball. It's going to be a hard one. But, you know, right now I'm locked into the Kobe Trojans.
You beat them twice last season, but you told me both games were very closely competitive. What set you guys apart in those games last year?
At their place, we were able to pull away late. They made a couple turnovers. We were able to capitalize. And then, you know, at our place, we kind of rocked them a little bit. I mean, it started off slow, and then we just kind of ran away with it there in the second half. You know, they had one really good player last, Josh Ogaro, averaged about 22 games at Texas State now. Actually, I recruited him to Kobe before I left. It's kind of a going away gift for them. I mean, he was really good. This year, they're a little bit more balanced. They got their first three guards are phenomenal, actually. And then, you know, they got a couple of European bigs, and they just kind of do their role. And, I mean, we've watched them till we're blue in the face. We're pretty worried just how well fluid they are on offense.
Talk to me about your years at Colby. How big were those years before you came over to Garden? What kind of things?
It was incredible timing. My first year, we win the league, go to Hutch for the first time. The school had been open for 70 years, first time they'd ever been, won the league, top 10 in the country, and then COVID hit. And then that second year, COVID was a nightmare. I mean, we had it worse than any college in America. I mean, the season was only 3 months that year, January through March, and we were basically in quarantine over 2 months of the 3 months. Yeah, it was a nightmare. We had to go play a couple games with five players. And then, you know, my third year there, we got up to 9 in the country, and the wheels kind of fell off. A couple guys got hurt, discipline stuff, and just kind of hang on. I think we ended up 17-14 or something like that. And, you know, it was a great people there. You know, me and my wife both, we still have friends there that we speak to on a regular basis. They'll be here this weekend. They're coming. And, you know, I'll always cherish my time there. I mean, it was an awesome place.
You talk about this New York style of basketball they're bringing with some of the guys that come over from the East Coast. From watching them on film, what's something you have to be able to slow down tomorrow?
You got to get back because they are getting that ball out fast. And then you got to get back and get matched to the shooters because they got shooters everywhere. I mean, if you don't get that ball stopped and allow the defense to get back and get out, it could be, you know, that's why Northeastern got them the other night. I mean, they just didn't do a very good job of getting back and getting matched up.
Coach, best of luck on Saturday.
Thanks for having me, Cal.
Thanks so much to head coach Rusty Elmore for coming on tonight's show. Men's basketball will tip off. Right now it's scheduled for 4, but it will come 15 minutes after the conclusion of women's basketball. Who we will hear from next, head coach Craig Franklin is here. We'll talk to him and a couple of his coaches when we come back here on the Garden City Community College Coaches Show, live from Old Chicago.